If you love an Aussie underdog who punches above, look no further than Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Download the Bluebet app today and bet Australian. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
And we are underway.
From Rainbow Bay to Rainbow Beach to the Switch and everything in between.
I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun.
Have a funny day.
Go and have fun now.
Your new local. You're going to love this place. It's the Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
Happy Monday. It's not Monday, it's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Short week on the Rush Hour. How are you, Liesl Jones?
I'm great, actually. I feel very refreshed after a good weekend.
Dobbo.
Hello, Liam. Hello. I've got to say, to our friends at the Tweed and to our friends just over the border, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the next 6 months till April the 2nd that you have to put up with an absolute disastrous thing called daylight savings and the time clock difference on there. Now, I just want to dumb this down for everybody. 30 years ago.
Are you doing the origins of daylight savings?
1.9 million people voted on a referendum on whether or not there could be daylight savings. That's the whole state. That was the time at the time that was voted.
He is doing the origins of daylight savings.
And it narrowly was defeated 30 years ago. Well, to this day now, there's 5.6 million Queenslanders. So that's 3.5 million that didn't get the opportunity to vote. Now, what I'd like to say to everybody out there is that if you don't like daylight savings, that's fine. But we actually need to get, I'm not being AME, I'm just saying, we need to have daylight savings.
But, Dobbo, we can't have daylight savings because it fades the curtains.
Or the cows don't go to sleep.
That's the
or we have to do an extra hour's work more.
No, you don't. Can we all just get on board? Because it's very frustrating when you have an early morning flight out of Brisbane. If you catch a 6 a.m. flight, you don't get there till about 9.
Yeah, I got the 7:30. I got the 7 a.m. flight out of Sydney yesterday and landed back in Brisbane at 7:26.
Now, time travel. It's coming back.
Yeah,
it's actual time travel.
That's annoying going
down. It does sound like we're campaigning for state government next year.
It does a little bit.
It does, especially with that. I'm completely
Anyone
with you.
Under the age of 48 did not have a say on daylight savings. So any person under the age of 48 has not had an input in daylight savings in Queensland.
I feel like they wanted a result and they got it.
We have to do something about this.
Do you know? And do you know what part of it is as well? The people that did have the vote would have had to physically wind the clocks. Doesn't your phone
you
updates
now.
You don't have to do it anymore.
No.
That would have been half the I reckon that would have been a reason some people said no to it.
And it's okay, your curtains don't fade.
I have to change the clock in the car. I have to change the clock on my watch. You don't have that
Well, actually,
anymore.
My car doesn't change over, so there you go.
Oh, there you go. We'll maybe get a new car.
That's a good choice.
My brother-in-law is a teacher who lives in Queensland, works in New South Wales.
Yeah.
No.
Nightmare.
Can we all just jump on board? Either way, we all have daylight savings or we all don't.
And actually, while you're apologising to the people on the Tweed, I'd like to apologise to the whole country for the state of South Australia, my hometown, Adelaide, who chooses to be that half an hour, awkwardness.
Frustrating.
Just pick a time, Adelaide, seriously. Have the Penrith Panthers celebrated an unsportsmanlike fashion? We're going to talk about that very shortly.
We are talking about NRL, so, you know, is there such a thing?
Come on.
We're just back. We're fresh off a long weekend, which was absolutely delightful for someone like me that wasn't in the hordes of people that went up or down the coast and actually got a little bit of spring cleaning done because nothing feels better. Don't roll your eyes, Dobbo. It was the biggest eye roll.
It was a shocker.
I love a spring clean and I love a long weekend when I don't have uni assignments due that I get to do this. And so I went into my cupboards. I had the ambition and I knew what I wanted to achieve. Right. I knew there were some dresses that were in the backside of my cupboard that are too small for me now. Mm. I'm too big for the dresses. I had to get rid of them and I had to part ways with them. So I had the aspiration.
Hang on, what do you mean? What do you mean part ways? Throw in, donate or sell?
Well, I could donate them, but I was going to.
No, not if they're good.
No, they're very good. And there's lots of designer dresses in there as well that I've bought plenty of times and worn them enough, but they're too good to donate. So I want to sell them.
Sure.
So I jumped on Marketplace. I bought a mannequin because I want to make sure that the pictures look good when I put these dresses up there because I can't model them anymore because I'm too big for the dress.
Got to spend money to make money.
That's right. So I jumped on Marketplace, went over to Hamilton, $40 for a mannequin.
You went over in the car, bought a mannequin, shoved it.
It was pouring with rain.
Boot or back seat did old mate go?
Well, the boot turns into the back seat because I've got an outback, so I put the seats down.
And laid the mannequin in the back seat.
Laid the mannequin down, and I was walking through Hamilton, through all the shops there, and everyone's looking at me.
Like a surfboard? Or having it under your arm?
No, I held her up. She was completely nude.
She's a she.
It's very much a
she. She's selling women's dresses. Right?
Okay, yes. I know, but it could be a gender neutral mannequin. I don't know.
Is it a little bit strange? I was very envious of her body.
What is
she's
good?
Beautiful.
She's
hot. Oh, she's beautiful. Like, I would give anything to have that. That was pretty nice.
Okay, so.
I know the image would be perfect.
Is the plan made now to put the dresses on the mannequin?
Yeah. So I had to sand her back a little bit because she had a little bit of damage, but in particular areas that were pointing out more than other areas on the body.
We're talking about a breast here.
Yes, right. Her nipples were worn down just a little bit.
I'm just imagining Liesl going into Bunnings and asking one of the team members.
So her nipples are now prominent?
No, her nipples have been sanded back, so they're nice and smooth.
They weren't prominent. Okay.
They need to be smooth so the spray paint can come on. You know what? At Bunnings, they actually get this request all the time.
No, they
don't. The guy said,
we have, yes. The guy at Bunnings said they have a lot of requests for people that come in to buy spray paint to paint the mannequins. So I found the right spray paint that I needed to use.
Love this.
It's this Rust-Oleum like spray. It's amazing. I was blown away. I said it no less than 10 times how impressed of a job I was with that.
Right.
It was just the best job ever. And now I've got a beautiful mannequin and she sits in my office.
So when does she start selling her clothing?
She's going to start selling them this week. So, yep, jump on my marketplace. I'll have Camilla and Mark dresses and, bit of designer stuff.
Probably not quite the target market, I wouldn't have thought. Yeah.
Oh, well, there will be. I think there's a lot. Yeah, mate, I think you're right on point there.
You know what? We have some people that have told me they.
You don't know, judge. You know,
stop making judgments.
Yeah, you don't judge. It could be people who like wearing dresses who listen to this show.
Sure.
You know, you don't judge.
Sure.
Yeah. Can I just ask this now? When are we going to meet her?
Would you like to see her?
Could you bring her into the studio?
Her name's Mallory. Right. Mallory the mannequin. Mallory the mannequin. Yeah. She's beautiful. She doesn't talk much.
This has gotten weird. This has gone to a weird area. I'm just saying, Liesl.
I think she's hot. She's beautiful. I saw her. She's hot.
She's beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know if you should bring her in around Dobbo.
One dog, one bone, mate. You know that. Rock solid. I know that this is going to divide a lot of people's thought process, but obviously with the grand final on Sunday night, Panthers winning 28 points to 12. And without and out, they were by far the best team in 2022. Mm. They were the best team in 2021. And I know they didn't win the grand final against the Melbourne Storm in 20, but they were the best team as the season goes. They just didn't get it done at the end.
That first half. That
was up there with the best half of football I've ever seen. It was
blistering.
It was unbelievable.
For the knockers who want to have a go at Parramatta about putting in that sort of performance, Penrith didn't allow them to play.
100%.
That's right.
100%. I actually spoke to the coaches at halftime, and the Penrith coaches said to me, I said, how's the coach? They said, he had a big smile on his face, and he was so happy. He said, it's over. They knew they'd squeezed the life out of them
at
halftime. They had them on the rack.
Yeah.
Fast forward, they're young. You've got a young age. I think their average age is 23. They've just won a back-to-back premierships, and they're full of whiskey. They're boozed up. And why wouldn't they be? They're young men who dedicate their life to being
elect. Yeah.
And so when they get up on stage with the fans, somebody starts the chant, "We hate Parra." This is the next day. This is the Monday, Mad Monday.
Let's provide context. Yeah. So James Fisher-Harris, the Penrith forward, is up on stage and he makes a comment here. I'll play the audio. He makes a comment here about Parramatta being their sons, the inference being that they have some sort
they're
of ownership
the big daddy,
over
yeah.
the Eels off of the back of the win. And then the crowd gets into it.
All the fans, thank you so much. All love. I just want to say, Parra our sons.
It's the Parra our sons.
I don't know what everybody's up in arms about.
Well, I just think it's just not really like I just don't see a Tom Brady doing that. I wouldn't ever see a Tom Brady getting up and beating a team and then saying that they hate the other team.
Well, you're the only champion in this room.
Well,
you're the only world champion. Talk to us about the behavior of the world. How a world champion should behave.
Well, I think if you're the best in the world, I mean NRL is an Australian competition,
sure.
So in terms of saying it's yeah, the best win that we've
they
seen.
They could say they're the best rugby league team in the world, though. There's probably no one
there's
over
no
in the States.
There's no one else, yeah, maybe not in England. But just in terms of when you see other people, I just think there's always respect for the other team that has turned up. And I think I don't feel like if I, you know, winning an Olympic gold medal, I don't sit there and go, I hate Rebecca Soni. I hate Rebecca. I wouldn't do that because I respect her fully. Sure. As a competitor and as someone who's turned up on the day to compete against you, I think there's a lack of respect in that.
Okay. I hear you and you are qualified to comment. You really are because you've done it. But in 1993, the Brisbane Broncos went back-to-back premierships against St George. And one of the greatest players to ever play the game in Alan Langer, at the post-celebrations back up here, the next day started the chant, St. George can't play. And the grand final, this is 30 years on now we're nearly talking about, it is still what everybody remembers. But I don't think it's arrogant. I just think that that's the fans getting the passion. If I'm a Penrith fan, I'm chanting we hate Parra because I hate Parramatta because I'm a Panthers fan.
Yeah,
I'm a
but then you
I'm
say
Canterbury,
about
I'm...
the love you have for Penrith. I
no,
don't think you
I
have
don't
to
love
hate
Penrith, but I'm a supporter. So I'll go on the record. I'm a Canterbury Bankstown tragic. I love the Dogs. And our arch rivals is Parramatta. And if Canterbury can beat Parramatta every year, I'm happy. I don't care if they don't win another game. I hate them when they play Parramatta. I don't
yeah,
hate Parramatta.
That's okay, but I don't think you need to lead a chant that says how much you hate. I think there's still respect for that team that has shown up on the grand final day.
So I think the difference between what Alfie did all those years ago, Dobbo, is that social media didn't exist.
No, exactly.
Yeah, true.
Exactly. But
yeah.
it's still talked but about. Imagine if there's social media then.
This is the secondary part of what James Fisher-Harris had to say, which is he spoke about the greatness of this Penrith team in comparison with past teams.
Everyone gone before us, much respect, but as I said last night, we're the greatest Penrith team ever. So.
Okay, I do take exception to that. 91, their first ever side. Penrith were underdogs. They'd been beaten the year before in the grand final, and the likes of Greg Alexander, Brad Fittler, John Cartwright, Mark Geyer, I think that is so disrespectful to the people that have played before them.
Yeah.
Okay, you win a competition. Statistically, yes, they are. Statistically, by their for and against and how much they've done, yes, they are, but it's apples for apples. It's different for different. It's so different now to what you can't compare. You can't compare that side to the 2003 side and the tackle that the great Scotty Sattler made on Todd Byrne to bring him down. Like,
and
these
I think
are the
also
things.
The issue is you can't say that about yourself. You can have other people say to you, it's like calling yourself cool. You can't call yourself cool because other people have to say that.
You might be cool,
but other people have to say
to
it. And that's
like
why
that.
I think if you're a champion or the that best there sense. Ever is, I think other people have to say it. Well, my dog Nev had to go to the vet. He had to get some bloods done. And I took him in a little while ago, probably about a couple of months ago. And the vet came out. And as he was sitting down, she grabbed his fat rolls. Oh. I was like, oh, Nev, you might need to lose a bit of weight. So I thought, oh, we've been working on getting his weight down a little bit. He's a bit chonky. And then I took him to the vet last week. He's put on another kilo. Oh. So 17.7 kilos. He was supposed to lose 2 kilos. Jeez. But the fact is that people in Australia know that their pet is a little bit overweight, but about 35% of people don't know how to check. So they're supposed to actually have ribs. You're supposed to have visible ribs on dogs.
So this is something that's come to light over the last couple of weeks as well, that cat owners and dog owners, cat owners especially, they overfeed their animals. And look, when you're feeding a horse, you want them to shine. You don't want them to look mud fat. You want them to look, you know, just finished. And with a dog, you don't want them to go hungry.
No.
But, mate, they're a bottomless pit. And you know what? You can end up like Nev. You can have an obese dog or an obese animal very quickly.
Being fat shamed by your vet.
And by the general public. I can tell you now, I've had a dog and I took the dog. People look at that dog and then they start shaming you on your feeding your dog too much.
Because dogs look like their owners usually.
Well,
and I was like, don't look at me.
They're a reflection of their owners. So I think
that's because Nev gets all the little bits off the table. But I had a Cavalier once. It was Christmas time. And you know those beautiful lint boxes of chocolate and they're all the different shells
Love
and things.
Them.
And some are in wrappers.
Shout out
and
to the lint people if they want to send
if you want to send
in.
A box. Well, my dog, Chloe, she loved it. She ate all 42 of them, including the wrappers.
No!
And all the wrappers were coming out for days after. afterwards, but just absolutely devoured the whole box.
Chocolate, just about the worst thing.
That is the worst thing for a dog.
The worst thing.
We have a dog in our family. It's Vern's dog called Biscuit. And
he's cute.
He's a 2-year-old Labrador, and it.
Shocking with food labs.
Terrible. So we'll get
shocking
into the bin.
With everything. It's eaten the TV control. It's done everything. And its first 2 years, and lab owners...
straight to your hips. Mate,
I'll tell you now, it's funny. I was talking to Aaron Woods, the rugby league player, the other day, and he just lost his lab.
Oh.
And I was talking about, 17 years, his best mate. And anyway, I was talking about, mate, 2 years. He goes, the first 2 years. He said, mate... It ate walls and everything the first few years. Then they just get, for some unknown reason, they just get calm. But, mate, Biscuit the other day, it just got up on the kitchen table when there's a raw bit of meat and took all the steaks we're having with the family, just takes it. Animals have done it. I can tell you countless times. I think you've even had a story.
There's people out there right now going, my dog got up on there and ate this. My dog will go one better than Biscuit. My dog, Houston, growing up, he was a Cocker Spaniel, Golden Cocker Spaniel. One day, and we still to this day don't know how he managed to do it, he got up on a bench that was beyond his jumping capabilities, smashed an entire roast chicken.
Oh!
Just gone. Like, my mum had brought it out the oven. We had a roast plan this afternoon. Devoured it, bones and all, and we were essentially on dog death watch for the next day. But it's like, he's eaten all the chicken bones, and that's the other thing they say you shouldn't give dogs.
It's cooked bones.
So, what did your dog eat?
Jason from Cannon Hill, what did your dog eat?
My dog ate my wife's beautiful gingerbread house that she built for Christmas.
Oh, no. With all the lollies on it?
Yeah, all the lollies, all the trimmings. We left it on the dining room table, went out for a little trip in the afternoon, got back, it's up on the table, hooking into this gingerbread house, the poor thing.
And then if you've made it too, it means you've used all the icing to stick it all together. That is a dense feed for a dog. What sort of dog was it, Jase?
Cavalier.
Yeah, it's not big enough.
They've got form in this.
It's not big enough. Hey, Jase, thank you for the call. Got a double pass to the Oztober Garage Session Tuesday, 25th of October at the Trifford for you, mate.
Awesome. Thank you.
Not a worry.
Hey, Daryl from Thornlands. How are you, mate?
Not too bad. Our dog actually jumped up on the table when we were out and ate all my daughter's old gold chocolate Easter eggs.
Oh, no.
And for the next day or two, I was cleaning up L4 from where it's passed through.
I've never rolled it because chocolate's not great for a dog.
It's really not bad.
Never rolled him.
That theory about not good for dogs, it didn't affect him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't affect my Cavalier either. She was fine. She was
It might be an urban myth.
There's vets out there going, it's not a myth. Don't feed chocolate to your dogs. Yeah. In fact, I should say that. No one on this show is a vet.
We cannot recommend anything.
Daryl, thank you for the call.
Grant from Castledine, what did your dog get into?
Not my dog, my brother-in-law's Weimaraner, late 80s. He's got a lovely big home at Ascot. He thought he'd host our engagement party. So anyway, had it catered, Bay Marie, full of food. Oh. And old Jetty, he thought he'd help himself to about a third of a tray full of chicken supreme.
Oh, my God.
Chicken supreme.
Anyway, we thought, Jetty's a really fit dog. He's got good breath. We just rearranged the food and put the elf ball back over. She'd be right, but we're all still here. Smiling, so it must have been that bad.
Oh, the dog's eating it.
What sort of dog was it, Grant?
Weimaraner.
They're pretty skinny dogs.
They are pretty skinny, but he was
super fit. He's earned it.
You still don't want dogs' mouth all in the food, though.
They're the sort of dogs that would, like, you know, do intermittent fasting. Like, they're probably really, they're the real fit
they're
dogs.
They're the marathon runners,
the real
special dogs. Jamie from Tweedheads, did you have a pet get into something?
I did. $9,000 cash.
What?
$9,000. So I was a labby, about 18 months old. I'd come home from work. We're getting a bathroom renovated. I had the cash to pay the tradie. The dog met me at the back door. Like always, it had dug a hole. I went to slap it on the nose with the cash. Way too quick for me. Mouth open. Wallet whole. The dog is spitting out $100 notes like an ATM for the next 72 hours.
Oh, no. Imagine that.
And it's fair to say who the tradie was sitting there with me, he was not accepting that cash payment.
It's the first tradie who's ever knocked back cash payment.
It's literally dirty money.
Out of the $9,000, how much did you get back?
We got it all back.
Oh,
Unreal.
I love that you have to put your pin on the dog's nose. Yeah. Boop, 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 boop. There you go. $5,000. Thank you.
Oh, Jamie, that is an outstanding story. Very well told, mate.
Totally Workwear for all your work gear. All locally owned with the biggest brands and best service throughout Brisbane and the Gold Coast. The Triple Header.
It's the basketball preseason hit out at the moment, and the Adelaide 36ers thought they'd head over to Arizona to play the Phoenix Suns. Now, they put on an absolute show. 134-24, they beat the Phoenix Suns. Mm. And before you question how strong the team was for the Phoenix Suns, they were full strength.
Everyone going before us, much respect.
That's not the aggressor.
That is not them.
This is it.
Cleveland straight away.
I'm serious, I've never seen anything like this. NBA included.
Isn't that impressive? So they've blown away the commentary team. Now, this is the first time an NBL team has beaten an NBA team. And full strength, like I said. Now, here's a little stat for you. Adelaide 36ers, the Phoenix Suns player's salary for this season in US dollars, $173 million. Mm-hmm. Adelaide 36ers player's salary for this season, Australian dollars, $1.7 million.
It's nuts. Chris Paul, who played, he's the 37-year-old, 12-time NBA All-Star.
Yeah.
He's going to earn $33 million this season.
Wow.
And our whole roster,
1.7. Mm. Yeah, it was incredible.
Were they just they're not the greatest NBA team, obviously. Clearly, they're going to have
Phoenix Suns are pretty good.
They were in the finals two seasons ago. Very strange.
Full strength. So they've just
Devin
turned
Booker
up and played.
Played 22 minutes. Chris Paul played 22 minutes. DeAndre Ayton, who was the number one draft pick 2 seasons ago, played 22 minutes. The Sixers just lit it up.
Yeah,
just happens.
It's
just happens.
Great. Yeah.
It's good for our competition as
sure
well.
Is.
Yes.
Let's talk a bit of rugby league. Millie Boyle, Tamika Upton, premiership players, former Brisbane Broncos. At the Newcastle Knights, and two absolute guns. Tamika Upton won the medal for the best player on the field for the grand final.
She was unbelievable. Yeah.
Millie Boyle was unbelievable. Both pulled out of the World Cup squad. I don't know if it's because they've been away, their campaign, they just want to be at home back at Newcastle.
I think Tamika's got a calf injury,
yeah.
But Millie, I read it was something to do with she set up a new business.
Yeah, she's got an unbelievable business. Yeah, she's got a really good business.
What is it?
It's helping Indigenous kids and disabilities, she's got a really good business.
Amazing.
So she won't be obviously able to do that. So she's put out. Broncos, they're going to look to make some announcements in a couple of days. I'll give you that, but I just want to quickly touch on the fact that there's been a lot of talk and discussion around the fact that Nico Hines and Dylan Edwards, the Dally M and Clive Churchill winners, haven't been named in the Kangaroos squad. There's no rite of passage to be a Kangaroos player. And Dylan Edwards was the best on ground, judged best on ground, Clive Churchill medal winner for the grand final. That doesn't mean he's the best fullback in the game. So I understand that. And I know some people are saying, well, if you win the Dally M, you're regarded as the best player in the competition. No, that's not right. And I'm not going to unpack that again. But Nico Hines won the Dally M because he got enough points to win the Dally M because of the team that he was in. That does not make him the best player.
We don't have the time to get into it, Liesl, but here's what I'm going to tell people. Go and grab the listener app, LISTNR. Dobbo and I are going to have an argument about this.
Oh,
we're going to attach it to the podcast. Dobbo's got a long rant that he wants to get off his chest about the whole Dally M voting process.
I'm going to grab my popcorn.
Go and grab the listener app, LISTNR. Favourite the Rush Hour with Liesl, Jones, Liam and Dobbo podcast, and you will hear that rant exclusively there. We don't have time for it here, but we'll hear that there. And lastly, what was I going to talk about? Brisbane Lions. Dan McStay, he was tremendous. He was solid as a rock up forward, across centre forward, and sometimes in the ruck. He's officially a Collingwood Magpie. He has taken up a 5-year deal to join the Magpie Army for next season, so we wish him all the best. He was a great servant of the Brisbane Lions Football Club.
If you love an Aussie underdog who punches above, look no further than Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Download the Bluebet app today and bet Australian. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
And we are underway.
From Rainbow Bay to Rainbow Beach to the Switch and everything in between.
I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun.
Have a funny day.
Go and have fun now.
Your new local. You're going to love this place. It's the Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
Happy Monday. It's not Monday, it's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Short week on the Rush Hour. How are you, Liesl Jones?
I'm great, actually. I feel very refreshed after a good weekend.
Dobbo.
Hello, Liam. Hello. I've got to say, to our friends at the Tweed and to our friends just over the border, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the next 6 months till April the 2nd that you have to put up with an absolute disastrous thing called daylight savings and the time clock difference on there. Now, I just want to dumb this down for everybody. 30 years ago.
Are you doing the origins of daylight savings?
1.9 million people voted on a referendum on whether or not there could be daylight savings. That's the whole state. That was the time at the time it was voted.
He is doing the origins of daylight savings.
And it narrowly was defeated 30 years ago. Well, to this day now, there's 5.6 million Queenslanders. So that's 3.5 million that didn't get the opportunity to vote. Now, what I'd like to say to everybody out there is that if you don't like daylight savings, that's fine. But we actually need to get – I'm not being AME. I'm just saying we need to have daylight savings.
But, Dobbo, we can't have daylight savings because it fades the curtains.
Or the cows don't go to sleep. Or we have to do an extra hour's work more.
No, you don't. Can we all just get on board? Because it's very frustrating when you have an early morning flight out of Brisbane. If you catch a 6 a.m. flight, you don't get there till about 9.
Yeah, I got the 7:30. I got the 7 a.m. flight out of Sydney yesterday and landed back in Brisbane at 7:26.
That's time travel. Coming back.
Yeah, it's actual time travel.
That's annoying going
down. It does sound like we're campaigning for state government next year.
It does a little bit.
It does, especially with that. I'm completely
Anyone
with you.
Under the age of 48 did not have a say on daylight savings. So any person under the age of 48 has not had an input in daylight savings in Queensland.
I feel like they wanted a result and they got it.
We have to do something about this.
Do you know what part of it is as well? The people that did have the vote would have had to physically wind the clocks. Your phone updates now. You don't have to do it anymore. No. That would have been half the I reckon that would have been a reason some people said no to it.
And it's okay, your curtains don't fade.
I'll have to change the clock in the car. I have to change the clock on my watch. You don't have them
anymore. Well, actually, my car doesn't change over, so
there you go. We'll maybe get a new car.
That's a good choice.
My brother-in-law is a teacher who lives in Queensland, works in New South Wales.
No.
Nightmare.
Can we all just jump on board? Either way, we all have daylight savings or we all don't.
And actually, while you're apologising to the people on the Tweed Double, I'd like to apologise to the whole country for the state of South Australia, my hometown, Adelaide, who chooses to be that half an hour, just awkwardness.
Frustrating.
Just pick a time, Adelaide, seriously.
Get on board.
Can I just say that I'm concerned and I'm worried and I'm, matter of fact, I'm pretty disappointed in the producers of an absolute iconic movie series called American Pie.
That is not where I thought it was going.
No, American Pie, one of the most iconic trilogies of all time.
What?
Are you talking about the Pie movie?
Yeah, Band Camp.
Where he gets intimate. Oh. And Band
Jim, yeah.
Stifler and all that.
Stifler.
Stifler's mum.
Shermanator.
You've got that as an iconic film trilogy.
Yes. And reports are out now that they are trying, and I'm only putting this down to Maverick and Top Gun, they are trying to do an American Pie number 4. Oh. Now, look.
Arguably the third one was quite good.
Well, I have them ranked. I mean, the third one was brilliant.
That was the wedding.
Mm. Yeah, that was wedding. That's when Stifler had the dance off in that bar.
In the gay bar,
which was
very funny.
Yeah, very good, and he's a very good dancer. But I just want to say,
before you get into your impassioned plea to what sounds like I don't know where you're going with it, but you are. This is.
I love American Pie.
He's dead serious. So it's one of the best trilogies.
I like them a lot.
Are you too old to like them?
Well, when they first came.
How old were you in 99 when the first one came out?
22, 23.
Oh, no, that's right in your head.
Right in
exactly.
Yeah. He loved it.
Take it back.
So 23, I saw that when I saw American Pie at the movies in Emerald in central Queensland.
Okay.
And look, I've got to say that I loved it thoroughly from the get-go. Now, here's my knock on it all, right, and I'm being genuine here. I'm of the belief, and I say this with the deepest respect, that just maybe, there might be out of money.
The actors need a bit more cash.
And they've seen what's happened with Top Gun and how much Tom's made off the back of this, when he tried to ruin Top Gun with this latest one. and they're trying to go for a double dip again and go for fourth.
Where was the second one located?
That was when they went away for spring break.
Oh, so where could they go then?
The house and met those two girls.
If they're old people now, then where do they go?
It's the first one, they're in school.
First one, they're at school.
Second one.
He meets the Nadia, I think her name is.
Yeah.
And then band camp.
Then they go to college. And then the third one is the wedding.
The wedding.
Where Jim gets
married.
Where
do they go? A funeral.
Do you have a plot idea for this?
Well, I was thinking that Stifler may have finally committed to someone and had a child.
Oh,
and Jim and Bandcamp have had kids.
So Stifler's mum becomes Stifler's grandmum.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Oh, okay.
Baby grandmum.
Here we go. We're fleshing this out there.
Finch is out there. Finch he likes Stifler's mum.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Look, there's a lot that could go. I mean, band camps, they got a spring break, they could travel internationally, they could battle COVID and have to live in a house together with COVID. I mean, there's a lot of
not.
There's a lot of things that you could do, but I mean, seriously.
I love
don't
that.
Don't ruin something. Like, I mean, there's a lot of good movies around.
Ruin
you don't
something.
Ruin a trilogy like American Pie. And it's what it is. And I think a lot of people would agree with me. It was one of the best three-peat series of any movies thing. And I mean, some have compared it to the Rocky trilogies and stuff like that.
I would say Die Hard was a bit more iconic, but anyway.
You did not seriously just compare American Pie
depends
to
what your taste
Rocky.
Depends what your taste
is. What about Harry Potter?
Rocky. Liesl.
I'd have never seen any of them, okay. So I don't know how good they are. What about Fast and Furious?
Nah.
That's pretty iconic, isn't it?
I think when you're getting into the 10s and 11s of a film series, I think it's over.
Potentially, could we unpack in the next couple of days the best
best
ever trilogies
All right.
or movies?
We can have an argument, yeah.
If American Pie is, it's in the conversation.
Shout out to whoever's putting this fourth installment of American Pie together. Just be warned.
I loved it that my wife, who hates them, pointed this out to me today.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Amity. I'm very concerned. We need to talk to the producer, in fact.
We're going to get the producer of American Pie, the fourth
Don't
film,
do it, mate.
On the line so that Dobbo can have final sign-off on the script.
Nathan from Logan, what have you got to say about this American Pie 4?
Oh, g'day, legend. First off, love the show.
Oh, thanks,
we love you.
I just wanted to let you know that there's already a fourth one. They made a reunion one.
Oh, when did they make that?
I can't remember. Yeah.
This goes exactly with my point that I didn't even know about the reunion one, and I'm in shock that there was one, Nathan.
Well,
and the fact is that now, so are you telling me that, and look, that didn't get anywhere. So everybody, did you know that there was a reunion one?
No, I did not.
Did you,
Nathan,
Liam?
Since he's told us this, I just Googled it. American Pie was 99. American Pie 2 was 2001. There was the wedding in 2003. Then there was band camp in 2005.
What?
And then there was reunion in 2012. So there's actually been five.
Five American Pies.
With the same cast.
I think the brand might be already destroyed, though. But hey, Nathan, while we've got you there, have you seen the reunion film?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right. Okay. Yeah, so it's pretty. So has it got, does it tick the American Pie? Pie boxes? Is there the obligatory over-the-top nude scene?
Yeah, I think so. Well, there's a scene with Jim and his wife are trying to rekindle their sex lives and stuff, and they're doing all this dominatrix stuff, so they come out dressed in leather and stuff like that.
All right, so yeah, he gets that. Spoiler alert,
yeah,
just
tick,
quickly for Dobbo, who hasn't seen it.
Can I ask Nathan a bit more important? I just want you to just humour me on this. If there's five of them already, can you rate them from five to one? So which would be your worst one out of the lot? Would the reunion be running at last place?
Nah, the band camp one.
Band camp in 2005.
Band camp is last. Then which is fourth?
I reckon the wedding.
I would have said the second. Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah, so then you've gone wedding 4, you've gone the reunion 3.
Yeah, and then the first one and the second one in consecutive order.
Ooh,
yes.
Okay. Interesting.
I love it. Well, look, Dob, I'm going to let you and Nathan talk off air so he can continue to talk.
How is Jim's relationship with his father?
No, we don't actually have time to keep talking to Nathan about American Pie films because I'm not joking. We do have Mitchell Stark waiting on the line. He's going to join us next. The grand final is done, which means football season is essentially over. You've still got the AFLW rolling along, but footy season is done.
Well, that means winter's done and that means summer is coming.
Which
and you know what summer means? Cricket!
Cricket. The summer of cricket, in my mind, officially begins now. And it actually kicks off this week because the Aussies are here in southeast Queensland. They got 2 one-dayers lined up this week. They take on the West Indies Wednesday night at Metricon Stadium and then Friday night at the Gabba. And a man who can make the white ball talk better than just about anybody in international cricket joins us on the line, Mr. Mitchell Starc. G'day, Starkey.
Hello, team.
You've been stuck in the rehab club with a knee injury. How's the knee going? I'm sure that's quite important for someone like you.
Yeah, it was just a case of checking that it was nothing major in there. There's always going to be a couple of things that a couple of niggles going around for bowlers, and certainly I'm no different, but nothing major there, which is good.
Starkey, this World Cup that's on its way, it will be the first men's international tournament where the mancat is officially a legal form of dismissal. You are a man that could execute this. You've got that big front foot stride as you come in to deliver the ball. What is your take on this? Will this be something we see that M. Starc deploys, maybe even tomorrow night at Metricon?
You certainly won't see me do it. Look, obviously, it's part of the game. It's within the rules. I agree that I don't like the fact that batsmen feel the need to leave the crease early. There's a few Kiwis a couple of weeks ago who were almost three steps down the wicket before I let go of the ball, and I made that well known. But I certainly won't be taking a stump. Obviously, it's a hot topic at the minute. It's within the rules. I certainly won't see myself doing it, but I do hate seeing the batsman feel the need to leave early as well.
He's being very diplomatic there. Yeah. And this might be an unpopular opinion, Lisa and Dobbo, but I think the bowlers should do it. Every advancement in the game,
well, they're entitled to, aren't they?
Has been to benefit batsmen. The batsmen walk out there with 2x4s these days. The bats these days, all you have to do is lay some bat on the ball and it goes to the boundary. Why shouldn't there be an advantage given to the bowlers?
And if you're getting cocky and walking halfway down.
No. The art of being a fast bowler is you rule by fear. That's just a pussy way to get someone out. I'm sorry. Starkey, you agree with me on this, don't you?
Maybe you wouldn't use those
words.
For
the same reason I've never done it in my life, and I never will.
All I'm saying is
South Africa.
Final ball of a test or a one-dayer.
I don't.
The batsman needs a run to win.
No.
Starkey steaming in.
No way.
There's a win on offer.
Yeah. No way, mate. Yeah. It's a Clayton's victory.
You have our permission.
It's a Clayton's victory.
No, I'm still not doing it.
It's 2 versus 1. You've got Liam and Liesl against Dobbo. Don't worry about Dobbo.
I get the feeling that'd be Pat Cummins turning around and say, yeah, we're not taking that wicket. I don't feel like
that's like England claiming a one-day World Cup when they've, you know.
So tired.
Yes, I love it. I love that. Hey, Starkey, can I ask you this? How excited are you to have South Africa back on home soil?
Yeah, it's always a massive contest against South Africa. They seem to step up another level when they play in Australia. And for a long time there, it was a case of South Africa will win Australia and Australia would win in South Africa. So
yeah,
they've got a fierce bowling attack, which is what they sort of rely heavily on at the minute, which is a very, very fast, very experienced attack. But as we saw with the series they had in England, their batters can step up and find a way. So it's gonna be a very good series, no doubt.
I have to ask about your lovely wife, Alyssa Healy, who I have been known to be mistaken for once or twice.
My doppelganger. I can see it.
Yeah, so I'm happy to have that. So I have to ask how she's going.
She's going well, thank you. I think she's pretty happy with that comparison too. So no, she's business as usual. Obviously, the WBBL is about to kick off as well. So it's a busy time in men's and women's cricket in Australia. I think the Sixers actually start up north as well in Mackay. So it's all happening in Queensland to start the cricket season.
As it should be. Any word on yet if she's going to replace Rachel Haynes as the skipper of the women's side?
It's a very good question. I am not privy to that information.
If you are, you're not giving it up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just thought I might sneak it out of him, just real casual at the end.
Well done, Liam. Yeah. Investigative journalism 101. Yeah.
We're
off
record.
Stop recording, off the record.
That old chestnut.
Hey, Mitchell Starc, we cannot wait to see you plying your trade this summer, but more importantly, plying your trade tomorrow night at Metricon Stadium, West Indies. In my mind, this is when the summer of cricket officially begins. Starkey, it's great to have you in this part of the world, and we can't wait to see you out there tomorrow night.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Big story about to break.
Back page of the paper tomorrow morning.
I'm having conversations at the present moment.
You're hearing it first right here on The Rush Hour.
This is Dobbo's Mail.
Now, I talked about this on Friday. I can confirm it 100%. The Hammer is coming to the Dolphins. Hamisai Tabuafadou is going to be coming as a fullback to the Dolphins. He is just waiting on a release. The deal is done.
Wow.
They can deny it all they want. My mail and my understanding, the deal is 100% done. It's waiting on the release from the Cowboys who release him, and then it has to get registered at the NRL, which it will be ticked off, ticked off, ticked off. He will be a Dolphin in 2023. It's a huge kill for the Dolphins, a massive one. And this is off the back of him being injured and Scott Drinkwater playing so well and Murray Tuilagi now playing for Australia. It's just circumstantial. He's an out-and-out baller and a great pickup for the Dolphins.
So we filled the fullback position. What positions have we got left?
Centres. That's where they're working on now. They've got a premiership winning forward pack. They've got a really, really good fullback. They've got some great inside backs. This young Isaac Atoa, who is 18, who is just an absolute superstar from Penrith. He is there. Sean O'Sullivan, who played a lot of first grade this year, was 18th man at the Penrith for the Penrith the grand final. He's showing that he can do something. Milford, I've still got a question mark about him. I'm not going to lie. I know he's done it. But if he's fit, he's right. But they need a centre, and that's what they're after.
Just to back up on the Hammer, right? This is a kid who I think he made his debut in 2020, when he made his first grade debut. And it was the conversation with him was about, is there anybody in the NRL faster than him? Is there like this was the excitement machine, Dobbo. And it's amazing to think just less than 3 years on, he made his debut as an 18-year-old, I think. He's 21 years of age.
Yeah.
He has got so much good football ahead of him. This is incredibly exciting.
Ridiculous.
This is a kid who in a few years' time could be in the conversation as one of those great fullbacks in the league. So that is a huge moment for the Dolphins and their team. But Dobbo, you know what I'm going to ask.
Yeah. When's Munster coming?
That's what I'm going to ask. We're closing in on November 1.
The conversation I had at the Dolphins this morning was that I said, and I tried to smoke them out, I said, so Munster's a done deal, right?
You were subtle about it. That's good.
And they said, I wouldn't say that. They said, he's toing and froing, toing and froing, toing and froing. And in 2 days, he goes on a kangaroo tour. November 1's the deadline. Melbourne are throwing the house and cars, the lot at him. Everything they can throw at him. Not literally.
Not literally.
I was going to say, there's a salary cap. Greg Inglis and a boat incident.
No, they're throwing everything at him. He's just got to make a decision. They think it's done. They think he'll be there. But they can't guarantee it.
Okay.
Yeah, they can't.
Good in those Redcliffe colours,
I think so. I like the jersey. I know a lot of people
aren't. Got some criticism.
It has, but I can tell you they've sold in excess of $50,000 worth of jerseys in the opening of it.
Wow.
There'll be some social media out tonight about the players. The colours are actually exactly the same as the San Francisco 49ers. They've marketed it properly. They've gone to the experts. Get over it. Doomsdayers and negativity about the Dolphins.
You know what? When you get it all in a team together, it'll look amazing. When you get 20 people lined up in the same outfit, it looks great.
There you go. Love it. Well, okay. Some bright spots on the horizon for the Dolphins, Liesl Jones. Have we got to pick up the whole Keith Urban VU thing at some point? Wayne Bennett.
I told Bob Jones this on Sunday at the grand final. They were all there. I said Liesl needs to be the number one. And Terry Reid. I told them both.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how it went, but you know, I can make things happen.
While it's quiet, we need to hit them while it's quiet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Triple M Rush Hour list.
Yeah.
This is off the back of me having a gripe with most people in my life. And so
the list is going to get long.
I just thought I'd start venting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now we've got a segment called the list.
The list.
Yeah.
And it is what it does what it says on the tin.
People upset you. People do something wrong.
We put these people on the list.
You go on that list.
Last Friday, the inaugural person on the list was?
The bloke who decided to, the Uke driver who used to park at outside my house with the box trailer.
Yep.
Has now unhooked the box trailer full of timber, wood. There's no wood being burned at the moment. And
he's parked in your spot.
Parked in my spot.
People who park out the front of Dobbo's house and people with boats.
Anybody who has a boat, put it in your yard, put it in a marina. Do not park your boat out in the street and tight. Now, I just want to say a little side note. Xbox trailer gone when I got home.
So he's off the list then.
You know who you are.
He's off the list.
Well, no, he's not. The Milton, he can strike again.
The Milton car park, they're still on the list. Yes. Like, they have not improved. The people that sit and wait at the driveway for the four parks that are at the front door.
So we've got people that park their boats on the street and people that sit and wait for the premium parks at the front of the shopping centre. They are both on the list. Now, I've got someone to add.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be careful here. I won't mention
you. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Because Friday night, I went to the Brisbane Lions Best and Fairest Awards.
Oh, yes.
Producer Jack and I and some other people from the station went along to Convention Centre. Wonderful evening. Congratulations to the Brisbane Lions and all the award winners on a spectacular evening. But my evening did not get off to the most spectacular of beginnings.
Oh,
and I would like to add this person and people who do this sort of thing to the list. Producer Jack and I were working the room before we went in to sit down. And still relatively new to the city of Brisbane and the area.
It's something you do well, though. You're good at small talk.
Walking around. Jack introduced me to some people. Talking, chatting, all very friendly. I got introduced to one person in particular, and this person is the one going on the list. Quick introduction. I asked what this person did for work.
Yes.
They told me. He then reciprocated with the follow-up question, oh, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm on the Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, myself and Dobbo. That's as far as I got.
Oh.
At that point, his eyes noticed somebody else, literally turned his shoulder on me mid-sentence and walked away.
Didn't even say goodbye.
Walked away.
I've had that happen to me before by someone quite famous.
It's unbelievable. And I looked at producer Jack and I said, mate, just remind me of his name.
Yeah.
He told me, I said, okay.
Striked off the list.
Well, no, he's going
on this list.
He's going on the list.
Name him.
No, I won't name him. I won't name him.
I can't stand those people.
I'm happy to name him.
No, you know who I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I'll name him.
Don't.
Okay. Those people are so irritating because they're always scanning the room looking for someone better to talk to than the person that they're talking to right now. I cannot stand them.
That is and it's this person individually, but it's those people as a group. If you're a person that is constantly on the lookout for someone else to be talking to, and you don't have the decency to round off the conversation you're involved in.
The back pages of Dobbo's black book is for all the blacklisted people. Mm-hmm. He's just been added to that. And that is not a place you want to be because you don't get out of it.
Never. Exactly.
You don't get out of it.
Anyway.
You know
this industry is small.
This person knows exactly who they are. Yeah, anyway.
You're not welcome here anytime soon.
The list is thickening out. The Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo, a listener exclusive. Now, if you're a listener to the show or you regularly listen to the podcast, you will have already heard that this is a special listener-only fire-up because our man Dobbo believes that the NRL's dallium is broken.
I've got my popcorn ready. I'm excited. I'm getting comfy. You should too. Get comfy.
Dobbo and I have already had this argument. Now, Dobbo, Nico Hines, the dallium medalist for this season, was not selected in the Kangaroos squad. I said to you, I think that the dallium medalist, if they're eligible for Australia, should also be presented with a Kangaroos jumper at that moment because you should be rewarded for the season.
That's right.
Okay, I talked about this on Sunday on the Sin Bin. I'm gonna talk to you about this. I'm going to really dumb it down so everybody can understand. Was Nico Hines the right person who won the dallium? Yes. The current system of the dallium's, though, to me personally, is flawed.
Hmm.
So I don't believe that in the current format that the best player wins the Dally M. And I've got a theory why. Cronulla had a softer draw than any other NRL team.
Not their fault.
And there's not as many good players in that side. So if you are an elite player, which Nico Hines is, in a less than stronger side than the others, and has a lesser draw, a softer draw, you are going to score higher than a Sydney Roosters that has a James Tedesco, a Sam Walker, a Joey Manu, a Joseph Suoliti, you know, a Jared Rhea Hargraves, a Victor Radley. Those two aren't eligible because they got suspended, but it doesn't make for fair viewing.
So a big fish in a small pond gets more votes because they look better than the rest.
That's a nice analogy, actually.
Exactly right. Now, people will say to me, what do we do? And it's always been that same way.
I love when you put on that voice about other people disagreeing with you. But anyway, keep going.
What you do is you have a voting system like, and people are going to shout me down on this, but Supercoach have a point scoring system. So if you run, you do this, you get enough Supercoach points. So somebody, I'm talking great to the game, get together, and they do a ranking system. So we rank players, every single player, a bit like Supercoach, but for Dally M's. If they do this, they do that, they do this, they do that, they do this, they then become a point system. And at the end of the year, the top 10 who score go to this big function. And then the previous Dally M winners, along with the immortals of the game, vote for one person and one person only. And then it's fair and equitable. So if the Roosters have six players in that side because they're the best, so be it.
Ah, interesting. So be it. Okay.
It doesn't that come from, it doesn't come from, I mean, we're talking about Ben Hunt and Nicho Hynes here. Both of them, really good players. Mm. Ben Hunt's a utility in the Kangaroos side. But is he in the top three players in the game?
No.
Is Nicho Hynes?
No.
Honestly.
I love that you've, because I nothing irks me more in the world of talking heads and sporting commentary when people point out that there's a problem with something or the system's broken, but they don't
know how to fix it.
Bring a solution to the table. Mm. I love that you've brought an interesting solution to the table. The difficulty is that ultimately you still need some sort of measurement based on stats, which can sometimes be misleading.
Yep.
You still need some sort of measuring device to whittle it down to that final 10. I don't mind the idea of past winners or greats of the game, immortals or whatever it be, being part of the final selection committee. But the difficulty is, ultimately, you're still relying on some form of measurement, which if you base it off stats, there are empty stats in the game. There's no true value of...
Sure, but if there's a theory that you put to it, like if you put a theory to it with a numbering system and a program that actually, like, that will actually give you hardcore data, then you can do it. The current format at the moment is that a former player who is commentating on the game gets assigned that from Fox Sports or from Channel 9 and they get to vote. Now, seriously, it's too inconsistent. Under the current criteria at the moment, Nicho Hynes wins fair and square, and rightly so. Congratulations. He's a hell of a footballer. But he's not good enough to be in the 24-man touring party overseas for the Rugby League World Cup. Okay?
Been picked.
So that means to me, did he play for Origin? Yes, he did. But he wasn't there from the beginning. So I would suspect that, you know, and I'm being honest with you, you could put holes through the way that the Dally M is judged. Now,
Did you say the commentators score them?
For the commentators,
that's who gives the votes on the games.
You're joking.
No.
Yeah. The commentators?
Yes.
Yep. Aren't you doing
a
job?
We can't get journalists to do it because that's
no,
been...
No, not journalists.
Been, well,
but
that's
I feel
the way
like
it used
you need
to be done.
Someone...
I get what you're saying, though.
I'm not bagging Fox at a big backers of it. Bagging any. I just think
that there
is a better way. And the problem at the moment is that you've got all these people up in arms going, Nicho Hynes should be in the Australian side because he's the best player in the game.
So here's what I'll say to you, Dobbo, right? And I take your point. But I think there's an interesting, to your point, Lisa, American sports, the American Baseball Hall of Fame, people are admitted based on sports writers, okay?
Okay.
The NBA MVP is selected based on sports writers, media types that all are allocated a vote. That's how they pick the Rookie of the Year. That's how they pick Coach of the Year. That's how their awards are decided.
But I feel like commentators are working hard to commentate game because I feel like if I'm commentating swimming, I'm not looking at them as an athlete. I'm looking at them as their technique and different. And you're working. Your brain's working.
You could say the same about umpires in the AFL who decide the Brownlow medal, right?
Yeah, true.
They've got a million things to focus on, and they always see midfielders, and that's another kettle of fish. But I think, Dobbo, what I think people sometimes get or don't take into consideration, right? The best player in the game, who do you think is the best player in the game right now?
James Tedesco.
Okay, James Tedesco. Okay. Nicho, we are talking about a season, right? No, Nicho Hynes is not a better player than James Tedesco, because James Tedesco and the body of work he has put together over his career makes him top of the pile, okay? Probably alongside Cam Munster, right? But Nick Nine's individual season, this season alone, is such that he has won this award because of the way it's voted on. And as such, people are saying, well, he should be included. But the Kangaroos isn't based on a season, right? Mal Meninga, as the coach, has put his faith and trust in certain players in his tenure as the coach of the Kangaroos, which is why he's still having a conversation about maybe playing Daly Cherry Evans ahead of Nathan Cleary, despite the fact that everyone agreeing Nathan Cleary is the best number seven in the game.
Won't, though.
But DCE has had runns on the board over the years, not only with Queensland, but with Australia.
And that is a great captain and a great leader.
Difference between a whole career and a season individually. So I actually think the Daly M, people might look back and go, oh, Daly Cherry Evans never won a Daly M, or Darren Lockyer never won a Daly M. And how could that have happened? Well, because individually, year by year, he might be a greater player than some players that beat him each year, but they had a better individual season.
So that means if we're judging a player for being the best player of the year, do you think Nicho Hynes was the best player this year in the competition?
For what?
No,
he
no.
Did?
Do you think?
Yes. You look at the Cronulla Sharks. He led them to second
on
the ladder. Wait.
How can you say that you think honestly here that Nicho Hynes was the best player in the competition? Yes, he was judged that because of the points that he scored in the team that he was against the players they played against.
Where did
Cronulla
system finish on the ladder?
Second.
Exactly. How impactful was Nicho Hynes in that?
It was impactful.
Exactly.
Have a look at the draw. Have a look at their draw.
You can only beat who's in front of you.
I get all that, but I don't think it's a fair and equitable system at the moment. That's my take on it.
Listener,
I'm not taking anything away from Nicho Hynes.
Why didn't a Penrith player then get it if they're number one?
Because there's so many of them in there. The points get dispersed.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There you go. So doesn't that support what Dobbo was saying?
It does. Thank you, Liesl.
No. He's actually taking his headphones off. The conversation's over.
You took a punt on the rush hour. Now try Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Download the Bluebet app today and bet with Bluey this spring carnival. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.